Welcome back to the Word for Life Radio Ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, and we're broadcasting from Brookside Baptist Church in Brookfield, Wisconsin. I'm a counseling pastor and a senior citizens pastor at Brookside, and I've had the privilege of speaking to numbers of folks in our congregation that have learned some just fantastic things about the Lord, and today is certainly no exception. We have Steve and Lori Heason in the studio today, and Lori and Steve, welcome, and we're thrilled to have you here. And Lori, just give us a little bit of insight into what you think possibly your testimony and Steve's testimony might be able to accomplish.
Sure. Well, a little bit of background. Steve and I have been married for almost 5 years now, and we have 3 children. And Steve is blind, and I am sighted, so I'm not blind. Mm-hmm. That's the term that's often used. People don't know they're sighted until they meet a blind person.
Right, right.
And our little guy, Josiah, is also legally blind. This is something that runs in the family. And we are just excited because we believe that God is setting up a new normal in our family in terms of blindness. If you look at the numbers in the extended family, it's kind of more normal to be blind in our family than not.
I see. Okay.
And Steve's mother is blind. And his sister is blind. And
right.
So we're just excited because in looking at scripture, we feel that God has used blind people specifically in the Bible.
Oh, for sure.
In a really like niche capacity, very specific way to touch other people's lives. And we want to do that same kind of thing.
That is fantastic. Now, Steve, you were born blind. Is that correct?
Yes, I've been blind my whole life. The disease that I have is called Leber's congenital amaurosis. And it's a dominant form of that, so that means that I have 50% chance of passing on that same gene and same blindness situation to every child we have.
Okay.
And many people, when they hear that, they kind of question, why would people, knowing that you'd have a child that's disabled, why would you continue to want to have children? And it gives us the opportunity to share with them that the Lord has a plan for everyone's life and that blindness is really... it's a disability, and it just means we can do the same things everyone else does, but we have to find a different way to do them. And I'm able to share verses like Exodus 4:11, which in it says, God created both the blind and the deaf and the dumb.
Mm-hmm.
When Moses was feeling insecure about his life and the fact that he was asked to speak to his people that he had things to say to, and he didn't feel worthy to do that, the Lord reminded him that he created all people.
I think, Steve, as you called my attention to that verse, basically Moses was trying to use it as an excuse. Lord, I can't do that, and you need to call on somebody who is not disabled. I think Moses stuttered, and obviously if he's thinking about going to speak to Pharaoh, you know, the king of Egypt and probably the most powerful man in the known world, you know, he's thinking, I don't think I want to do this, stuttering. And so it would be easy for him to say, Lord, tell you what, why don't we look around, get this, we look around, you know, and see who we can find. In fact, that's exactly what Moses did. He said, I've got this brother. Here, my Lord, send him. But God didn't look at disabilities as a disqualification, did he?
Absolutely not. I think, as a matter of fact, what Lori mentioned was very to the point that God had a purpose in using people that had disabilities so that he could draw the attention away from people's ability and towards his mighty hand and what he is trying to accomplish in the world. And also, Lori and I think we've come to look at blindness and deafness because Lori has experience with deafness and being an interpreter. We look at blindness and deafness as more of characteristics of who we are than actual disabilities. It's just one part of the whole being that God created.
Well, and I just love, I think we've kind of come to claim Exodus 4:11 as kind of a life verse for our family.
Yeah.
Because it says, then the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? And so just his sovereignty is so displayed in that verse. So if there's ever a time, which I'm sure there will be, when our little guy Josiah comes to us with struggles and, you know, I'm different or why did God make me this way? You know, we completely take any thought about like that God made a mistake or the sure, sins of the parents right. or any of that just goes right out the window.
Exactly.
Because this is God saying, I make people the way I make them for a reason, and he used Moses for specific reasons, so it's really exciting.
And you know, when you look at the previous verse, Exodus 4:10, Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And basically, Moses is saying, I am not, I am not, I am not.
Mm-hmm.
And God is saying, I am, I am, mm-hmm. I am. And too often our focus is on what we are not.
Right.
As opposed to what he is.
Right.
And the amazing thing is the fact that the word Lord there, oh my Lord, is the word Adonai, which means master. So the master is here talking to the servant, so to speak, and he's saying, okay, Moses, I want you to go talk for me. And he's saying, oh, great master, forget it. You know. And so often that's the way we are, isn't it? We say, now, Lord, I've got this disability, you know, and I just can't do that. And in verse 12, he says, now, therefore, go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. The interesting thing to me, I've highlighted the word what. He didn't say, I will teach you how you should say it,
mm-hmm.
but I will teach you what you should say. Because
mm-hmm.
he's already going to take care of the how.
Right.
He's going to give him the ability to do it. And Steve, I imagine you have learned some amazing things about how the Lord enables you to just live a productive life and use it as a testimony of God's grace.
Absolutely. It's a work in progress. My document is not finished. It hasn't quite gone to the printers yet. So to say that I've reached the pinnacle of what the Lord wants to draw out of me and to show the world through me
right.
would not be accurate, but I've learned so many things through the years. One example is I'm also a type 1 diabetic. It has nothing to do with my blindness. I developed this when I was in my 20s, and I was at the top of my game in what I was doing. I was just starting to be a teacher. I was teaching adaptive technology, and I was living in Seattle, and I was just starting my work, and this is right after 9/11. And I had lost probably 50, 55 pounds in a matter of 2 or 3 months. And in November 28th of 2001, I went into the hospital to find out what was going on. And
sure.
the doctor came and said, Mr. Heason, how does it feel to be a type 1 diabetic?
And you said, a what?
Yeah, no bedside manner there.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, being a single guy and type 1 diabetes and all that and being at the top of your game and, you know, having so many exciting things going on in your life, it kind of did mean some changes.
Sure.
And there was some time I had to take away from work. And through that time that could have been difficult and was difficult, there might have been some depression there as well. And I was away from my family. But the Lord showed me some amazing, amazing things. And I think he used this to bring me back closer to him.
Mm.
And he reminded me that, you know, I sent my son to die for you on the cross.
Right.
The least you can do is just live for me. And it took a different shape than what I thought it would. I eventually came back to live in Wisconsin, closer to my family.
Mm-hmm.
If that wouldn't have happened, I don't think I would have met Lori. I don't think I'd be at Brookside. I don't think we'd have the beautiful family we do. And, you know, I may have just continued to do my own thing and
right.
had a good time. I was a believer, but my life was not what it should be for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He used that circumstance, as well as blindness and just the ongoing challenges, to draw me to him and reminded me that you're a tool that I want to use you, and
right.
this is the way I'm going to do it in your situation, and pointed me to Scripture for that. Romans 8:28 is an amazing reminder of
exactly.
that.
Exactly. All things working together for good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Were you saved at an early age?
I was. I was saved at age 8 or 9, and to be honest, I don't remember the exact day and time that it happened.
I don't either.
Same here.
But I remember listening to Uncle Charlie, which is a great ministry radio program, and I remember he was talking about sin and how we're all sinners, and without what the Lord had done on the cross, we would be destined for eternity in hell.
Exactly.
And I remember getting on my knees at the side of my bed and asking the Lord for forgiveness, and that was the day I was saved, and shortly after that I was baptized and following Christ in that way, but I had some years in my teenage years where I think the Lord was starting to work on my testimony then. You know, I don't say there was ever any wasted years. The Lord is just writing our testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And he draws us back to him. And there were some situations I was in that probably were not the best and were not the best testimony for him. But you know, the Lord is great and he is sovereign and he worked his plan through all that mess and all those lost years, what would be called lost years.
Aren't you so thankful that his love is unconditional?
Mm-hmm.
It's not based on how we do,
mm-hmm.
but it's who he is.
Mm-hmm. And that's becoming, I think, even clearer to me as a parent now.
Yeah.
Because our kids are still very little. You know, Josiah will be 4, Jenna's 2, and AJ, Andrew is 10 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they're so little, it's relatively easy to give unconditional love because they're so helpless and small. And now as they get older and start to show that defiance, I'm reminded that I show that same defiance and disobedience to the Lord, and he still extends it to me, so I still get to extend it to them. And
exactly. Right.
And that's what really reminds us that we are as children, because we do have those reminders from the Lord. You know, our kids probably think it's pretty rough sometimes, too, when we're reminding them that we're the parent and
mm-hmm.
and they need to obey. And, you know, sometimes there's some hard decisions we have to make as parents involved. And that is a reminder that we're his children, that he brings those things in our path.
Right. Well, how did you guys meet? Lori, share that story with us.
Sure. Well, we met in a church choir, actually. And it was a church that we were both attending at the time
mm-hmm.
here in town.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember noticing Steve across the room at the church kickoff, the ministry kickoff for the fall for choir, and thinking, well, it's a pretty handsome guy. And I had seen him around church before, but never had an opportunity to interact with him one-on-one, just because it was kind of a large church. And
you were how old?
I was 29.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the following week, I showed up for choir a little bit early, which almost never happens. So you know the Lord is at work when I'm
the
showing
Lord's
up.
The Lord's return is soon.
Yes. Miracles never cease when I show up early for something. And sure enough, there Steve was early as well because of a cab situation, taking a cab to church, and they got him there early.
Okay.
And there was a mutual friend of ours who introduced the two of us, and we got to talking and just hit it off, and we were married about a year later.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
And yes, it is.
Okay, well, we're going to have to bring this to a close. This has really been exciting, but we will obviously continue this in our next broadcast. But when we just stop to consider, friends, that every one of us have something in our lives that other people could look at and say, wow, that's a disability, or that's a disqualification, or you can't do this, you can't do that. With God, all things are possible. And so whatever you're facing in your life struggle, in your journey, with God, all things are possible, because he is Jehovah Elroy, the strong one who sees. He sees everything that you're facing, and he's strong enough to do something about it. Trust him. So until next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.